So Travis, I was sick as balls this last weekend.
I have
mostly Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Right, you know, the day that I had off this week.
Well, I was also out of town that day.
Yeah, that's.
I spent the day driving with people.
We're also sick.
Having to make stops in the car because they were not feeling well. Yeah, it was a rough trip. But, you know what got me through it?
Knowing that you would hear my sweet little voice.
Well, I was going to say listening to this podcast, but yes, your sweet, sweet voice was definitely involved.
Yes.
How's that?
Praise,
how's that?
Praise me.
Praise Travis, all bow to the troll. Hey Travis, how's it going?
It's good, how are you?
Well, now that my fever broke about 2:30 in the morning last night, and I was able to get a few hours of sleep, so a little bit better. My voice is a little grainy still, that's why. Had a really bad, like, 36-hour flu. Kind of kicked me in the jimmies, so hopefully everything will be fine. I was able to get this morning stream out, no problem. And people were like, oh yeah, you do sound a little ballsy, but I was like, well, I'll just try. But other than that, it's been a pretty good weekend. I had a lot of fun, saw some family, played one game of Commander. My brother was all like, I wish we could have played more Magic. I'm like, well, I did the best I could. You know, I only had 2 days to see everybody, and everyone wanted my attention for whatever reason. We only see you once every 5 years.
That's because
well,
I hate you.
You know where I live. You could come see me. 6-hour trip one way is not a lot of fun for me in the car. But I don't know if you saw my Facebook messages, but there were several times I was like, well, it's been an hour in the car. I can tell because I want to murder everybody.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, good news. My wife is going to pull over and we're going to stop and eat. And I said, bad news. It's Cracker the F Barrel. And so, yeah, it was less good news. But then I basically curled up and tried to go to sleep on the way there and didn't work, but I tried. So anyway, I didn't get to play a ton of Magic this weekend. I did get to play Friday Night Magic, which was sealed again this week. And you know what? I still don't think I have a real good grasp on the format. I tried to go as aggressive as I could, and I want to say I had probably 8 2-drops in my deck.
Nice.
Most of them were like 2/2s for 2 or whatever. And then, like, the best card I had in my pool was Ulamog.
Yeah.
And, like, I had all these really, like, half synergies for allies. Like, I had 3 allies in this color and 3 allies in this color and, like, 2 in this color or whatever. And I just couldn't figure out how to do the ally thing. So I ended up doing this blue-black Eldrazi's, like I said, with all these 2-drops. And basically a bunch of 2-drops, a couple of, like, counters and, like, a removal spell or 2, and then Ulamog and, like, 19 lands. And I got destroyed, I guess I could say. I mean, I went 2-2 because we only had 4 rounds. And I basically lost to my son in the first match because he had the unblockable guy who, what is it, exiles the top card of your library. I forget what that's called now. Ingest.
Yeah.
He had the unblockable Ingester. And I had a guy who could... I had an ally. No, I didn't. I had a way that I could tap him. I had the blinding drone. I could tap one of his guys. And I had a couple of instant speed card draw spells. And he hit me a few times, and I'm like, all right, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm going to draw 2 cards at the end of his turn. And hopefully draw my Ulamog and cast it and just win the game. And I, like... He's like, combat, and I'm like, Ulamog's on top of my deck. I just know it is. Maybe I should draw these cards now. And I was like, no, maybe it's not on top of my... Maybe I just had that feeling or whatever. So I'm like, all right, whatever. So he attacks. I lock some stuff down. I block. I take 1 point of damage, and I flip over Ulamog.
Jeez.
And I'm like, no! So yeah, he basically beat me game one that way. I was able to beat him game two pretty easily. And then game three, I kept a hand that was like Ulamog, my other big Eldrazi, and a bunch of two drops, and I think like two lands or something. And I was able to get to four lands, no problem, and I just never saw another land in my deck with 19 lands. So it was pretty rough, that particular game. And then the other game that I lost, I'm pretty sure I had everything won, because my other big guy was, what is the Bane of something something? Bane of Balged. I had that, and then I also had the 2/1 ally in blue that for 5 mana, you make a creature unblockable. So I was just going to attack with that guy every turn, make it unblockable, and make my opponent sacrifice all of its things. Well, my opponent, who was Maverick, I don't know, you know, local card shop guys will know who Maverick is, but he put himself in a situation where he got a boomerang spell and boomeranged it to the top of my deck and then untapped and then boomeranged another creature to the top of my deck. So basically, he trapped it 2 cards down and then was able to basically get in a position where he could race.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, well played, sir. You know, golf clap all around. So I don't think I have this format completely figured out whether or not I should just try going aggressive no matter what the cost. Do I still want to run these top-end powerful cards? Because clearly they're the most powerful cards in my pool. I'm just not sure what to do. I don't know. It looks like you had updated the notes because it looked like you actually had some comments about Sealed. But then it looks like you changed it to you did a draft for Friday Night Magic.
Yeah.
So I guess I really can't ask you to expand upon your day one thoughts because you really didn't do it. But do you have any other thoughts? Do you still want to be aggressive in this format? In the Sealed format?
I still kind of do.
Okay.
I just think it's a better... I think it's better to be aggressive. Because everybody, well not everybody, but most of the people are either going to try and tempo or just blow everything up. You know,
I will tell you, like, every game I resolved Ulamog, I won. And that felt pretty good. But there were several games I just won on the back of 2/2s for 2. So I get it. I understand. I'm not sure what the best way to play is. If you, listeners, have an opinion, let us know. You can send us a tweet. I'm Samus Garobo, all one word on Twitter. Travis, of course, is TurtlePower319. And I'd like to know what you think, what this format looks like. The guy who won... this week, Sealed, I think he basically played all the 2-drops he could possibly could in the Drowner of Hope.
Yeah.
And he basically played those colors in that combination for Drowner of Hope. And then he said he never got it. He never got it. He never played it. He just had no idea if it was any good or not. He just won on the back of 2/2s for 2, basically. So I'm really at a loss what this format's supposed to be like. You just, if you get all the 2/2s and you can just play that aggressive curve, you just win. And if you have the crazy synergy deck that's really, really powerful in the void, but just can't beat, you know, a 2/2 on turn 2 and two 2/2s on turn 4, do you just lose? I don't know. I'd like to hear from you guys. Speaking of like to hear from you, how did your draft go?
It went all right. I went 3-2.
That's pretty good. That's a big draft.
Yeah, we had
Was it two tables, or...
It was...
One big table?
It was four tables of eight. Well, it was two tables of eight, and then two tables of nine.
Wow, so, that is pretty big.
Yeah, people kind of showed up.
So that's the new format, Jitters?
Yeah, I think everyone just wanted to get the most out of drafting while they could. Since if we draft maybe...
Pretty sporadically.
Yeah, it's...
So tell me what the draft did. You did 3-2, so that's slightly better than not. But what did it look like to you? What was going around your table?
Well,
how do you feel that you did?
I feel I picked some things incorrectly, but overall, I got a pretty good pull. The only thing that beat me was. It was mainly white cards that beat me, because they were just... The white cards that they got were just bombastic. And then, again, I was going more aggressive with it. And, when I said I missed some grabs, I think it's because I picked creature over removal in some instances when I shouldn't have. And I feel that's okay. What... cost me a couple games. But overall, yeah, I went blue-red again, because that's what was coming to me. And, well, it's mainly red that came to me, and I picked up some blue cards because I figured that was a good combination. Which it is. I think blue-red is the strongest right now in limited. In constructed, I don't know. Well, there was that blue-red deck that was at the open, but I'm not sure if that's the way to go with it. Yeah, overall, my pull was pretty good. I had three rare lands, and I did end up with Mirror Pool and Reality Smasher again in the deck. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's a pretty good combination.
Well, I would go for it, yeah.
Let's see, I did have two Goblin Freerunners, two Goblin or Reckless Bushwhackers, Devour in Flames, Embodiment of Fury, two Cinder Hellions, which I'll start picking those up pretty heavily because that's a solid card. I said three Reality Hemorrhages, two Maw of Kozilek, Boulder Salvo, and then the blue cards ahead were Dot Harvester, Gamera Tangler, Gift of Dust, Two Negates, and Storm Chaser Mage.
Well, sounds like your deck wasn't too bad. You at least said you were just in a position where you needed removal and top decked a creature too many times?
Well, it was more I don't think I had enough removal. And I think that's what really shut me down. Because, I like to play with removal.
Sure. It's just, most people should.
Yeah, it's very, very good for keeping up tempo and making your opponents have to answer your stuff while you're still laying down threats.
I think everyone knows that removal is good. I don't think we need to get too deep on that, but it's tricky because you'll often get in a situation in draft where, or at least I do, you think I'll get removal in packs 2 and 3 in particular, and that'll let me focus on worthwhile threats, so I'll get in a position often where I'll want to prioritize amazing threats over reasonable removal, and you do have to pull back and be like, okay, well, what's going to answer their bombs? Because there's enough packs floating around, I need to be able to deal with their stuff too. And it's often just better to take that removal spell.
Right.
But, I don't know. You also got a note on here that you're working on the worst card that I can think of, and then Zada.
Yeah.
So, tell me, you know, let's not go super deep until you have a completed list. We can spin a show kind of talking about it. But what's your ballpark on this Hedron alignment thing? Because a lot of people are really talking it up. I just think it's an awful lot of work to win this way.
Oh, it is an awful lot of work, but, I mean, that's how win conditions, you know, other than 20 or mil, happen to go. So far, what I have right now, Monastery Siege and Outpost Siege, just to go through my deck as quick as possible, and then 7 board wipes with End Hostilities and Radiant Flames. Then anticipate counter spells, the alignments, and then more removal.
Well, I suppose with something like a Outpost Siege, right? You can leave it exiled if you hit it. If you already have one in play. Right, so that's an easy way to get your one exiled, if it comes up. If you're running, you know, like your blue, like you were just saying, you could easily exile one out of your graveyard with, like, a treasure cruise.
Right.
Or dig through time. So I definitely think you're on the right track. What is the white for again?
The white is for, like, End Hostilities.
So mass removal to kind of keep you caught up?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see it. I don't know if I like the list, but...
Ogitize Command and Erase.
I said, if you're using the red spells that, like, discard and draw and dig through your deck quick, plus the blue for draw, I can see it. I can kind of see making a go of it. Have you actually got to play this thing yet?
No, I just...
No, of course not. No.
That's ridiculous.
Is this a Magic Online deck, do you think?
I will be building it online.
Do you think it's cheap enough that we should build this, that we could build this online and fiddle with it?
Possibly, yeah.
Because I don't imagine Hedron alignments are going to be very expensive.
No.
And almost the rest of this deck, with the possible exception of, like, the red Outpost Siege, should basically be...
Very cheap.
Not very expensive either. So, of course, the mana base will be an issue.
Yeah, but
I know you already have your battle lands. You just don't have the fetch lands.
Right. Well, I have 2.
Well, it's better than me, I guess.
Yeah, but they aren't in these colors, so.
I don't have all my battle lands yet. I think I'm gonna take this week and probably buy up the rest of the battle lands this week. But my playset anyway. I think we're getting close enough to rotation time that I want to get them now. They're not going to go any lower.
Right.
So I want to make sure I grab them. They'll still be getting picked up occasionally in the draft, so the price should still be reasonable. And then that way I'll have them for post rotation. So shall we get to the meat of this episode?
Yes.
All right, so we had a friend, Loud John, send us a list, and I will post the original list on the website with the show notes. Oh, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
It's what happens when you don't get to sleep except for a few hours. Basically, he sent this list with a couple of notes saying, I kind of want to play... Token/Planeswalkers, and I'm thinking Abzan? Did I say it right this time? Awesome, I did it. So his list that he sent was 4 Hangerback Walkers, 3 Windmate Rocks, 4 Secure the Waste as basically the creature package. Then he's got 3 Oaths of Nissa, 3 Oath of Gideons, which I guess Oath of Gideon is kind of like part of the creature package.
Yeah.
I mean, it does net you 2 creatures when you play it, so that one's a little better. Then for removal, he's got 3 Grasp of Darkness, 3 Murderous Cuts, which is fine, I guess. Then he's also got a retreat to Emeria in this list, which would also definitely go in the creature package area. So that's okay there. And then he's got 3 Nissa, Voice of Zendikar, 3 Gideon Ally of Zendikar, 2 Sorin Solemn Visitor. And he wanted to know what I thought. And as I look at it, there's a couple of things that stand out to me. One, the Grasp of Darkness is not good enough in this list. And then he also had a note for whatever lands, you know, but whatever. Grasp of Darkness, I don't think is good enough in this list. Double Black, because you need it early. I don't love it. And I also don't think I love Retreat to Emeria in this deck, unless you're running all the fetch lands to really take advantage of getting a couple of guys each turn. In which case, if you're going to run all those fetch lands anyway, you might as well run a much more colorful mana base.
Yeah.
In which case, if you're running that colorful of a mana base, do you need Oath of Nissa? And then my other big question is, what do you do in the early game? Like, Hangerback Walker is good, but if they just exile it with one of, like, what, 4 different cards that can exile a Hangerback Walker in the early game,
right. Then
you're done. Your next earliest card is, like, Nissa, Voice of Zendikar, Oath of Gideon, or Secure the Waste for 2. And all those things don't really do a lot, in my opinion. So I think what we are going to do this week, for this week's show, is we are going to look at kind of fiddling with the list ourselves, kind of look at what we think for card choices and everything. And then there's a couple of places that we were kind of talking about it before the show where they're worthwhile discussion points. So this is what I have, Travis. I think that we should definitely run at least the following Planeswalkers, and you let me know if you agree or disagree. Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, Hiora, Master of the Depths, Narset Transcendent, Sorin Solemn Visitor, Obnixilis Reignited, Sarkhan Unbroken, and Ugin the Spirit Dragon. We should definitely run 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Some number of these 7 Planeswalkers. What do you think?
Well, remember how I said I was writing down what I think?
Mm-hmm.
The list that I had, I actually have...
Did it include somebody that I left off?
Well, it also included all of those Planeswalkers.
Okay.
So I have 3 of the Nissa, Voices Endicar, 2 Obnixilis, and that's for, draw and creature removal. And then it'd also give you a win condition.
Well, I don't think I want to delve too deep on the numbers. I just want to know if we basically agree. If we're going to go deep and we're going to play all the different colors for all the different planeswalkers.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a planeswalker that we left off the list that we definitely want to play?
See, well, I got...
It looks like Sarkhan the Dragon Speaker I don't have on the list.
Don't have
him. I don't have any of the flip planeswalkers.
Nope.
And I don't have Chandra Flamecaller.
Correct. I don't have that either. Yeah, I have Nissa, Voices Endicar, Obnixilis, Gideon, Sorin, Narset, Sarkhan Unbroken, Eugene, and Kiora.
Okay, so basically we did all agree on that. We do want some number of each of these 3, or what did I say, 7 Planeswalkers?
Yeah.
So some number of these 7 Planeswalkers, we kind of agreed is the key to the deck. And then in my mind, to enable the variety of planeswalkers we have 4 Call the Gatewatch, so you can kind of tutor up whichever one you need at the time. 4 Oath of Nissa for both the combination of tutor up what you need / fix the mana. And then 4 Oath of Gideon, kind of in that similar place where you want it to be activating a little bit earlier, or you just need to get those couple extra guys going. So that, to me, is the core of the deck. Do you disagree with the core here.
Okay. So, let me just put aside the Planeswalkers really quick. You know, in my list that I, you know, just sketched up before the show, I put 14 Planeswalkers in.
Okay.
Just varying numbers throughout, which that might even go down to 13.
I think my list right now is 11. I'm going to double check my numbers while you talk here.
Okay. Yeah, because let's see.
You have 13.
Yeah, my non-planeswalkers, I got 3 Call to Gatewatch, 2 Murderous Cut, 2 Nissa's Renewal for Fix Ramp and Life Gain, 4 Crux of Fate, because that can even be changed to a different board wipe. I just picked that one because, well, Obnix's list is double black, Sorin's black, you know, other.
Well, let's use this as a jumping off point for one of these discussions, right?
Okay.
So, one of the things that we kind of were discussing as we were going along here, what is the base of this deck? Is this a green-black deck? Is this a green-white deck? Is this a base white, white-black? What is the base color of this deck? And it came down to why. The reason that question is important is what we're going to use for removal spells, right? So for black, we have things like Ruinous Path, Languish, and Crux of Fate. In black, obviously, and then we have things like End Hostilities and Planar Outbursts in white. The other big advantage we have if we go like black, for example, is Dress and Despise as early turn plays that are also good late, where white doesn't seem to... I couldn't find anything that's overly amazing, to be really honest.
Yeah, and
that kind of has that same great good or great early and late.
And that's why I chose black as the removal stuff because it does have despise, and this deck is going to suffer early game. So I just put a playset of despise in the main for, you know, just off the top, so that way we can get rid of any early game major threats that they may have. And then for the oaths, I actually put 3 Nissa, 3 Gideon, and 2 Jace. And I put 2 Jace in there, obviously because we have 11 to 13 Planeswalkers, and it's just going to filter away the things that we don't need. Like, if we need a board wipe immediately, well, I guess we don't need another Planeswalker right off the top. You know, so I put 2 Jace in there for draw stability, I should say.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I'm just kind of skimming through the gather here while we're talking to see if there's anything else early that we could possibly want. I guess the main reason why I think it's more of a base white deck comes down to where I decided to put my 4 of's and my Planeswalkers. So do you have any 4 of Planeswalkers in your list right now? I don't think you do, right?
Nope.
I do, however. I think 4 Gideon Ally Zendikar is an amazing card right now, especially when you combine it with, like, Oath of Gideon, right? Like, that ability to come down, make an emblem, and then proceed to make 3/3s because you live through the -4 because of Oath of Gideon is so good. And then I have 2 Nissa voices in the cars, which could be wrong. I may not want any of these, in retrospect, where I do really like Obznix Reignited. So I kind of have the feeling that this is really a base 2-color deck, splashing the other splashing the other colors primarily off of fetch lands. Like, I don't even know if we want Oath of Nissa and Nissa voices in the cars in the numbers that we have. I'm just not sold.
Well, and for me, Nissa is more early game chump. You know, get the life or get the the early game chump blockers, and then, you know, hopefully stabilize with drawing cards. Gideon is more the aggressive package, and then, because honestly, you know, if you drop Oath, you know, Nissa on turn one, or maybe even turn two, if you have a despise turn one and you have the black source, you should do that. Then turn three, you get that plant in the way. Turn four, you know, Sorin or Gideon get more creatures in the way. And then eventually you're just going to overrun, as Super Friends do. Because turn five, I mean, if everything goes accordingly, you know, you can Crux and then build your creature base back up with three more dudes.
Let me put a counter argument out here real quick. For white, okay? So maybe this deck is base white, and it's base white for Monastery Mentor. And then you could run things like Silk Wraps and whatever the other Exile Stasis Snare.
Yeah.
Maybe this deck is base white for those kind of things. Swift Reckoning, perhaps, although it's kind of an odd one. There's not a lot of instants of sorceries, so it's almost never going to be played as an instant.
I think Swift Reckoning got replaced with Demolating Glare. It's called. The new one. It's tap 2, destroy target. What was it? Target.
It's attacking creature.
Yeah, well.
Right? As opposed to just a tapped creature. I don't know. I like the... I still think I find Swift Reckoning to be very good. This way they don't have to be in the process of attacking. I can untap and just destroy something. It does give up the flexibility of an instant. It also gives us access to, like, Valorous Stance if we want it. Like, I see a lot of reasons for wanting to be white over wanting to be black. But I can definitely see the argument the other way. It really comes down to, is Duress and Despise, Ruined Path, Languish, Crux of Faith, and I'm going to throw in another one that I did get to play with this Friday, Remorseless Punishment. That is a beating, by the way. Might be better than, like, you know, these other removal spells plus Planar Outburst and Inhostilities. What I do really like about Planar Outburst is it has that extra, the Awaken.
Right.
So it has like two modes, right? Destroy all non-land creatures, or spend a bunch of mana and make a 4/4 dude. Like it doubles as a removal spell and a, win condition. But it does cost 9 mana to do that, but a deck like this shouldn't have any problems with that. So, I don't know. It's a good division point. I kind of think maybe we should build them both and kind of see. So let's move on to our second big discussion point here. And I kind of raised this question earlier because I feel like Narset Transcendent is a very, very good planeswalker in this particular environment. Especially in a deck like this, where basically you want to be drawing cards, you want to be figuring out which planeswalker you need to play at the time to basically take over the game and just win. And with, you know, half of your deck plus being planeswalkers or things that find planeswalkers, it's, she's a good one to up plus, get a, you know, potentially draw something that's not a land, put it in your hand, but I like the idea of being able to use the -2 ability when necessary. And that's how we kind of got sidetracked on the whole, well, is this deck black or is this deck white discussion.
This deck is a fair thing.
It is, but we need to know what we are in the early game, right? In the late game, we're gold.
Early game, right? We are.
If we can get to 5, we basically win this game.
In my opinion, early game, we're just trying to stable.
So, should we be base green? Should we run things like Call the Scions? and be base green, because A, it accelerates us, and it only requires one specific color. Should we be running stuff like that in this deck? It also happens to be a sorcery for something like Narset or Monastery Mentor.
Well, I guess we could jump up Ugin to 2, so that way there's a better chance of getting him, so that way we can still do board wipes effectively.
Well, I think we already have 5 Ugins in the deck, Travis.
Yeah, with
well,
Call
I
of the Gatewatch.
With Call of the Gatewatch, plus theoretically Oath of Nyssa is probably actually like, you know,
and
what, like a 0.2 of an Ugin or something?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have a lot of Ugins in the deck. I think that's part of the reason we can get away with running so many 1-ofs and 2-ofs. It just comes down to, do we want to be playing, you know, a single one of certain ones, or do we want to run less 4-ofs and more 2-ofs? Like I said, I definitely think we want to be running 4 Gideons, personally. But that's a big dollar commitment. That's $60.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Online. It's $87 in paper.
I think just 3 and 3 is better with Nyssa and Gideon.
Maybe. I guess the other reason why I always build with 1 Ugin is because I only have 1 in paper. So, it's one of those cards I kind of run as a singleton in a lot of these Planeswalker-ish decks. I guess the other thing that I kind of want to point out in total honesty land here is I have a Mardu Planeswalker deck.
Yeah.
That I have been playing, and it does a lot of work. And a lot of these same cards go in there, or come from there. Cards that I don't have in that deck right now are these Oaths of Nyssa's, Call of the Gatewatch, because I just don't have them yet.
I got 3.
Oath of Gideon. Although I'll probably be playing with Oath of Gideon. I obviously don't have any of these, you know, other cards. But I could easily see putting a Narset in that deck, no problem. I can easily see putting Call of the Gatewatch in that deck, no problem. Oath of Gideon's, again, no problem. So I don't know. I don't know at all. I think, though, when we're done, before we finish these show notes, maybe it may be something we just try to get done by tomorrow. Is we're each going to have a version of this deck that we'll post the deck list up on the website, samusgarobo.com, and, of course, in the show notes over at MTGCast as well. But Travis and I will both post something, the 5-color-ish, or at least heavily themed this way. They call it Super Friends,
yeah,
which is stupid. Because I'm not a DC person, but
I highly doubt any of them are very good friends. I mean, they might have uneasy alliances, but they're never going to be super.
What are you talking about? They all are high-fiving each other, saying magical words like, as long as there's life on the other planes, I will watch.
Okay, well...
Herberts.
Those are just the oaths. And the oaths are just kind of like, I need stuff. Give me stuff. They're only calling out to their own things.
I don't know. I think there could have been a black planeswalker in this group of friends.
There is. Omnixilus.
No.
He is the most friendly out of everybody. That's why he's always trying to be around everyone else.
I suppose that's true.
I mean, it's not the murdering aspect.
I'll be your friend. I'll be your pal. So, here... Let's go back to this question. Is this a Monastery Swift Spear deck, Monastery Mentor deck, or am I just drinking?
I think you're just drunk.
You think I'm drunk? I really do think it is. Like, there are no creatures in this deck.
So what would you take out?
Well, right now I only have 50 or 25 cards.
Oh. Well.
In my version right now, I've only got 25 cards. But I don't have any removal spells yet, and I don't have, except for the Planeswalkers, and I don't have, like, any discard or control elements. Like I said, I posted it over in the show notes. My current version of this deck is the 8 Oaths, 4 of Nyssa, 4 of Gideon, four call the Gatewatch, and then basically singletons of all these different planeswalkers with the exceptions of a Sorin. I put two Sorins. I put four Gideons, and I put two Nissa's voices into cars, which I could actually more easily see reducing that to one Nissa voices into car and increasing it actually to another Narset, to be really honest. I think Narset is one of those planeswalkers that can just completely destroy the opponent. If led unanswered for not even that long, she just wins the game.
Yeah.
People forget that Ultimate is only minus 9. So
she comes in with 6.
And she comes in with 6 and pluses to 1 right away. So,
well, she could.
Especially if you already have the Oath of Gideon out there, she could come into play with 7.
Right.
And plus to 8, which means you just need 2 more turns to be able to Narset Emblem, where your opponents can't play non-creature spells. And that just destroys a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to take advantage of that. I also really like Obnixilis in this list. The whole creature removal aspect is pretty amazing. What is it exactly? -3, destroy creature.
Yeah.
The ultimate isn't the best, necessarily.
It's a slow win.
But I think we're okay. The planeswalker that I really like, I think, the best in this deck, and it's just because I really enjoy this particular planeswalker, and I don't think she's getting the love that she probably deserves right now, is Kiora, Master of the Depths. And I think the reason I like her is the original list that we had from LJ was for Hangerback Walkers, which not everyone has Hangerback Walkers just laying around. I have a bunch of Hangerback Walkers. I got them early, and I've been getting them slowly whenever I can, just because I like them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my local shop still has the Battle for Zendikar Precon thingies, little battle decks, whatever they were called, for $20, I think, $20, $25. So there was a while I was picking those up. I still have a couple of them still sealed in the box because I think they're just terrific value. And those have Hangerback Walkers inside them too. So I like Kiora's. I like her plus one ability, untap a target creature and untap one land. I think that's really good in a lot of situations, especially with something like Hangerback Walker.
Right.
You know, you play her on 4, you tap your Hangerback Walk in the land, you untap it, now it's a, let's say it's a 3-3, you block, you tap, you have the land available, boom, now it's a 4-4. I think there's a lot of value there. I also like the negative. The downside is you can't put a Planeswalker, it's just basically a land at that point.
Right.
But, I still think that's okay. Of course, her -8, which again, if you have an Oath of Gideon in play, right? So that means she comes into play with 5. That means you need 4 turns. Her emblem basically, or her ultimate basically wins the game. I mean, not always, but most of the time I think it wins the game. Oh no. I think there's a lot of different ways you can go with this shell.
Yeah. No, it's definitely very, very versatile.
Said, we could go heavy, heavy green. We could run the Call of the Scions. Then do we really have a Wrath for heavy, heavy green? Not so much, right?
No.
But we can do things like you kind of mentioned before with the Nissa's Renewal. Especially Nissa's Renewal with like a Narset Rebound. Like, I don't even know how much life that would be. Gain 14 life?
Yeah, it'd be gain 14 life, get 6 lands.
Get 6 lands. And then if you have something like the life gain, what are the life gain things? Like the 0-3 wall and the
retreat.
And the green retreat. You just gain so much life. Maybe that's the way this deck should be going. Maybe it should be going the green path to not get overran until you have a couple of these Planeswalkers and this Oath of Nyssa. And then you just run no Oath of Gideon. I kind of like that, actually, now that I said it out loud. Just the Oath of Nyssa and the four Call the Gatewatch.
Right.
And then less Gideon allies as Zendikar and more of the toolboxy type things. And then Nyssa voices Zendikar if you had the money. Like, what's the price difference between four Nyssas and four Gideons? Nyssa, for a playset of Nyssas, according to MDG Goldfish, is $62, and a playset of Gideons is $87.
Yes, $20.
So you're saving $20, $25. Wow, I think maybe this deck is base green. You just don't have any kind of wrath or real solid removal.
No, but you have the life gain.
But you have so much life gain if you run like four of the
and then you put Hedron Alignment in there.
No, you don't need Hedron Alignment.
Oh, dang it, I was so close.
But then, you know, you take a green, you put in the other green things, you have your green accelerators. Maybe you run two Narsets, you just have one Sorin. Maybe you still run two Obnixilis. Like, how do you win without a Planeswalker, I guess, is the real question. Somebody got super quiet. Say it again.
Hedron Alignment.
No, no one likes Hedron Alignment.
Oh, everybody likes it.
No, nobody likes
it. Let's see. What?
If we go that way, do you run, like, the White Retreat? If you go, like, the heavy green? You know, kind of like the decks that we've been playing on Magic Online right now. Except the win con condition becomes Call of the Gatewatch, Oath of Nyssa, and then, you know, like, let's say six of these Planeswalkers.
Right. And then
instead of your stupid mill.
Right.
Artifact.
Instead of. Don't call Alter the Brute stupid. It's a brilliant card.
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, it is.
Every time I lose to that deck, I want to strangle you through the computer screen.
So you admit it wins.
When it does, it has happened.
Right.
I'm not saying it wins consistently.
No, it definitely
I'm not even saying it wins. I'm not even going to say it wins 80% of the time. I'm not even going to say it wins 20% of the time.
But
that 5% of the time, that 5% of the time where you play it and you like get there, I want to strangle you through the computer screen.
And that 5% is all that matters.
That's right. That's what we're all about, is that 5%. Yeah, I kind of like that, though. The more I think about it, the more I'm warming up to the idea of just heavy, heavy green, touch white here or there, and then tutor up a few of these Planeswalkers. In that kind of situation, do we need Sarkon Unbroken anymore? Probably not, right?
No, but it's still be fun.
Yeah, but like, what situation are you going to tutor up Sarkon the Unbroken? I mean, you draw a card and you add one mana of any color to your mana pool. I mean, it's still good.
Right.
But, like, on turn five, I guess you can neg to him to make a dragon? So, like, in the land where you do still run the Oath of Gideon, which I'm not sure you bother anymore, but in that land, he comes down with five counters, and you don't have to make a dragon right away, but you probably do? I mean, I guess that lets you make two dragons over two turns for five mana without having to take a turn off, right?
Right.
Because he doesn't die to making two dragons that way. I don't know. I don't think I love him that way. Is this a green? Is this Bant? Is this just a Bant deck now? The way we kind of talked ourselves into a circle, are we Banty?
Right.
I like that idea. Because Narset, Kiora,
Oath of Jace, like the Oaths.
The heavy green. You got the Jace Oath. What's the other Oath?
Jace, Gideon, and Nyssa.
Yeah, I don't think I love the Jace Oath in this.
It's just...
still don't think I need the other one. I mean, it does give you the ability to, if you have a couple planeswalkers out there, to
scry.
I just, yeah. I think I'm going to build my version of this deck to be more Bant.
Okay.
I think so. I think I'm going to build it Banty. More with this heavy life gain elements. What do you think you're going to do, Travis?
Well, I'm going to get some planeswalkers.
Okay, I like where your head's at.
And then I'm going to go from there. Because...
Okay, so it's a surprise.
It'll surprise me.
It'll surprise you. All right, well, how about we throw together a couple deck lists?
Currently, I have... In paper, I have 3 Call to Gatewatch, 4 Oath of Jace, 2 Oath of Nyssa, 3 Gideons, and 2 Chandras. So I can go every way.
Okay. Why don't you build a couple? Build like your heavy black theme, and I'll build like a heavy white theme, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll put together this more of a Banty color. And then you pick another Wedge or Clan. Either one, however you want to look at it. Another one of these 3 color-y type things. And, of course, you could splash more colors. I'm not saying don't. I'm just looking at the combination of Kiora plus Narset plus Green. Because, I already have a Mardu one that I would probably just play because I already have it together. But you can look at one of the other colors, and we'll post them both for tomorrow's show notes.
Okay.
And we'll just use, like, MTG Goldfish, and you can send me a link, and I'll do all the work behind the scenes. How's that sound?
That'll work. I'll have to do it today, because...
Nope, just get it to me by tomorrow when I get the show posted.
Yeah, like
great.
I said, I'm going to have to do it today, though, because I'm opening tomorrow.
Sounds good. So real quick, I just want to touch on a few other cards here that I was very, very impressed with this last week from Oath of the Game Watch. Blinding Drone, are you familiar with this guy, Travis?
Maybe.
He's a 2-mana 1/3 that is an Eldrazi Drone with the Void. For a colorless mana, tap target creature.
Okay.
Colorless mana and tap him, tap target creature. He did a ton of work for me. This week. First of all, he blocks for days, and then when he can no longer block, assuming you have a colorless mana, he still blocks for days. I was very, very pleased with this guy. I thought he did a ton of work. The other thing, if I can find it, blah, 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 blah. There's another Eldrazi card in here, I think. That's it. Kozilek Shrieker. Are you familiar with this guy at all?
Maybe.
Black and 2 for a 3/2, also devoid Eldrazi Drone. Again, for a waste, it gets +1/+0 and gains menace until end of turn.
Okay.
So what was happening a lot was people would just activate him one time in attack. Thinking, ha, he's got menace, whatever. They didn't realize that that's fire breathing. You can just keep pumping that. Once I've blocked or not blocked, you could just keep pumping. So there was a lot of situations where I was double blocking with like a 1/3 and a, say, a 2/4 or whatever. And they could have, or a 4/2 or something crazy, they could have killed both of my creatures. But often they would just think, oh, well, I can only activate this once a turn, da-da-da, and trade off. But you can keep pumping this guy. I don't think people realize how good this Kozilek Shrieker really is. I was very, very impressed with both of these cards.
I do like the Maw of Kozilek.
The Maw of Kozilek? Which one is that?
That is the 4-drop.
A red and 3.
Red and 3, 2/5, the Void. For a colorless, it gets +2/-2 till end of turn.
Seems risky.
Yeah, but he's a great blocker.
He is a great blocker. I do love me a fat ass when it comes to creatures.
Yeah.
I think that's mostly all I have for this week, except we get down to not really a game per se, more of a funny ha-ha kind of situation. Do you have anything else you would like to add, Travis?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Are you familiar with that fortune cookie thing that people like to do? When they read your fortune cookie, then they add the phrase "in bed" to the end of.
Then they throw away the cookies because they're stupid.
Oh, I love fortune cookies.
Me too. They're the best.
I would not say they're the best cookie. They're definitely in the top.
Top 30.
Let's say five. Let's say top five cookies. Because I'm a macadamia nut guy.
Well, everyone's entitled to a wrong opinion.
And then it's probably like no-bake peanut butter cookies.
Yeah, I will.
Or no-bake cookies, right? I love the no-bake. Well, I mean, clearly, because they're all grains. So we're going to do that today. I would like to find a phrase besides "in bed" to tag to the end of it.
Oh, but, I mean, I just found a great one for "in bed."
Okay, well, let's hear your phrase for "in bed."
All right, so it comes from the card Mortuary. Think of them not as failures, but as works in progress in bed.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Right?
I'm going to look at Blinding Drone because, you know, it's one of my cards from this week. Zendikar's true gods have risen. Whether in reverence or agony, all the world will kneel in bed.
Yes.
So I kind of like that. Do you have another one? If not, I'm going to read the Kozilek Shrieker real fast.
Read Kozilek Shrieker.
Listen to the sound of defeat in bed. That's what it sounds like. That's what the sound of defeat is. That's how you know you didn't do your job right.
I was about to say, what are you trying to imitate there?
Me.
Yeah, so she's vacuuming because she's clearly disappointed. She needs to get some frustration out.
I was thinking she's busy making you a sandwich and that's your electric knife.
Oh.
She's slicing the roast beef.
How lazy of her.
I mean, come on, you gotta get those slices equally cut.
I figured if I was angry at someone for not, you know, doing their job, I wouldn't be less inclined to do anything myself.
No. We got to get a nice sandwich made. Here's Touch of the Void.
Oh, wait.
Some wounds never heal in bed.
Devour in flames. Bob Nixless had prepared for every eventuality, except for Chandra Nalar in bed.
That was great. I think with that we're gonna call it. I like that one a lot. Wow.
Right?
I would love to have Chandra in bed.
Oh yeah.
I think that would be really hot.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't want to have to drag it out too much. Anyway, I'm Samus Grovel. You can listen to this podcast, check out the writings, basically watch me on Twitch. You can do everything at Samus Garobo, so samusgarobo.com, twitch.tv/samusgarobo, Twitter Samus Garobo, basically everything you can imagine at Samus Garobo. Of course, if you'd like to tweet Travis at Twitter, he's TurtlePower319. I did not see a tweet from you again this week.
I put two of them up this week.
You put two of them up this week? All right, I'll take your word for it. Of course, if you would like to send us an email because you have a topic you'd like us to tackle or a deck list you'd like us to try to put our special twist on, you can send it to the number 2trollsbrew@gmail.com, which is 2trollsbrew@gmail.com, which, of course, you can find a link to at samusgrobo.com, or you can just send me a tweet and I will let you know. Is there anything else we want to add, Travis? Any special thank yous or anything like that? I can't think of any. I guess we could thank LJ for sending the deck list for us.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet to look at. Oh, I know. We should beg for reviews one more time. If you enjoy the show, please go to wherever you get the show, be it iTunes or MTG Cast or SamusGrobo.com, wherever, and just leave a review. I really appreciate it. those things do help us get more listeners, and we would really like to grow the show as much as possible. That would be really, really wonderful. I think you're going to go to this GP at the end of the next month. You want to drive Houston?
Do I want to drive where?
I think it's Houston.
Oh, yeah, that's something I want to do. I just want to stay in a vehicle or...
I was more than halfway there.
Houston, that's...
I was closer to Houston than I was my home.
Houston, how far into Texas is that?
Oh, man, that's probably years.
Okay, so I know from where I'm at to Salina is about 8 hours, and then add on about 2 hours to Oklahoma City, so 10. And I know Wichita Falls is about 3 hours from there, so 13
hours.
All right,
hang on. I'm looking it up from Salina. From Salina... It is apparently 10 hours and 27 minutes.
Okay, so 18 hours.
Well, it might be more direct, right? You're in, where are you at?
Rapid City.
So from there, apparently it is 19 hours.
Oh, good.
So you could drive.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a possible thing. But
I had my van complete currently.
Hang on, flights are $400. So, I mean, you could definitely fly. Yeah, $400, $409 for a flight. Seems pretty good to me.
Yeah.
I bet you it's less than the gas.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, me either. I'm probably not going to go. Although, maybe I should. Maybe I should go down and try to get some assistance for judging that weekend. I don't know. I could use the practice, that's for sure. But, I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right, with that, everybody, I think I'm going to be signing off. Appreciate it. And hopefully, Travis will end the show in a relatively quick manner. I mean, maybe not. Maybe he's just going to sit there and be quiet for ages.
Is that it?
And more ages.
Is that it?
Man, I really wish Travis would say so long.
I did. As soon as you started talking the second time, we're just keeping focused on
listening. Anytime he could sign off, it would be awesome. Any moment. I'm trying to joke around because Travis's headset went out before we started recording, and he couldn't hear me, but now I was trying to make him think the other way around, but I guess it didn't work.
Well, no, because I can hear you.
Well, I know, I was trying to, never mind, troll on everybody.
Troll on.
My joke wasn't funny enough. Try to be funnier next time, Travis, please don't hit me.
I promise nothing.
Please don't hit me.
I already said it twice.